Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Katie Britton. In Sangu Mandana's The Lost Girl, we enter a world where those who can afford it have echoes weaved of their loved ones. If something were to happen to the original, the echo steps into their life. They are trained to be exactly like their counterpart, from what they eat and experience to identifying tattoos and hairstyles. An echo's life is one of their creators and not of their own. And while there is controversy over the echo's existence, it isn't until one echo once more her own identity that isn't so intertwined with her original.
I don't really know how that happened. I think it was an accident, really. Because when I started writing it, I wanted to write about someone who wasn't real as far as other people saw her. Someone who was made, not born, very much the Frankenstein monster. And I think it just sort of happened after that she wasn't just made, she was also made to be someone else. And that just really fascinated me, because I just really wanted to write about someone who had to live someone else's life and about how complicated that would be.
And this person, she is an echo, which they are all called that. People that can afford it can have an echo made up of their loved one. And should anything happen to the original human being, this echo can step in and fill that void and become the person as if they had never died. And that's supposed to be how it is.
Yeah. It's supposed to be.
Our echo is Ava, and she wasn't supposed to name herself. She is supposed to be Amara, the girl that she has been trained to become.
Yeah, well, she very much breaks a rule when she chooses a name for herself, but it's important to her. I think she's struggled for so long to be this other person, and she is so much her own person in her own way that she hates it. She hates having to do these things, and eventually choosing her own name is the only way she has to kind of take charge of her own identity.
And on the other side, Amara hates it also. She hates having to write down her life in her journals and know that there is a lookalike or a carbon copy of her out there who gets to experience everything that she is as well.
I mean, I've heard from a lot of people who hate Amara just like Eva does. And, you know, I don't blame them. But when you sort of stop to think about it, she's having a hard time. She knows that if anything happens to her, someone else is going to appear. And that someone else is not going to be her. And this person's going to be able to do everything she does and be with the people she loves. And, well, that's not nice.
Yeah, and I think Ava also respects her a little bit for saying, you don't get to have this memory or this experience because it is mine.
Yeah, she does, because that's the kind of thing she'd do. And for so long, they've been so different that when Amara actually does something that Eva understands, I think she does respect her a little, admire her even.
The way that the rest of the population feels about these echoes, at first, I think that it's one of those glamorous things, because you're thinking, wow, if you have the money to have somebody created to be a carbon copy of somebody you love, then you would think that it's kind of a status thing, but it's quite the opposite.
Yeah, well, it's difficult, I think, for people to understand why they'd be wanted. At least, well, some people want them, obviously, but I think for a lot of people, they're just not human. They're not natural, and to just ignore the fact that someone's dead and try and replace them just seems like a horrible thing to do.
The place where the echoes are made, it's at the loom, and it's the weavers who really control them. And Ava and everybody else learns that you don't cross them and that they hold all of the power to uncreating you as well.
Yeah, they do. Quite simply, they do. Echoes belong to weavers, and it's kind of like when someone asks for them to be made, they're really just out on loan, and they can be taken back. If they make a mistake, they can be destroyed. It's just that simple.
And when they are destroyed, they say that you will be unstitched.
Well, I never go into what it actually involves, but I think that's a fairly good description of what does happen.
You imagine somebody being unraveled piece by piece and hair by hair taken out of these poor echoes.
Yeah.
As she's growing up and as Ava is being taught and mimicking everything that Amara is doing, she does have a core group of people helping her along, and one of them is her guardian, Sean.
Yes.
And I like that little giggle in your yes, because he has taken the place of his father, who was her previous guardian. But like I think the rest of the people in Ava's life, they think of her as their own family.
Yeah, they do. They're not supposed to, and she's not supposed to care about them. It's very much supposed to be, you do this, and I'll make sure you do this. But no, they do love her very much.
Obviously, we know there has to be a time when Ava must replace Amara in her life. And Ava has been brought up in England, but she must go to India. And so there's that little bit of discrepancy between the different words and the accents and how Ava has to really struggle to fit in and become Amara, more so than just listening to CDs of her voice, watching the movies she sees, or reading the books that she has read.
It's a flaw in the system, I think, because echoes are illegal in India. They're not supposed to exist. If one is found, or if you're found sort of asking for one, that's, you know, you go to jail. It's as simple as that. And I think that's why the Weavers raise Eva out in England and not in the same environment with the same sort of climate, the same world. And that's a big flaw in the end, because it means that a part of her is very English. And, well, that, yeah, it doesn't help.
The way that Amara's family reacts to her, I have to say, the way that you wrote Amara's siblings, Sasha and Nick, they seem to have the most honest viewpoint of Ava.
Yeah, I think it helps that they're young, and so they're not yet, I mean, Sasha's too young to really understand that someone's gone forever. And she's also too young to understand that you want to keep that someone. So to her, Eva's just kind of this other person who just happens to look like her sister. And so she never actually gets confused. Whereas Nick's a bit older, and he does understand why she's there, but he doesn't see it that way. So I think they do accept her straight away for what she is.
And there's that identity Ava has. I mean, she wants to be herself, and who doesn't? How can you be somebody else that you were meant to be, but keep that little bit of yourself inside without feeling like you're being pulled in 1,000 directions?
Yeah, exactly. It's just, she's trapped, I think. And she, I mean, when she goes there, she's afraid all the time that she's going to lose whatever she is, and that being Amara is just going to slowly destroy her.
Does it matter to her who weaved her at the loom?
Yes, I think it does. Most of her life, she's always just assumed that it was one of them. And I don't think she really cared which one, because to her, they're all one and the same. They're all horrible. They're all the people who trap her and cage her in and make her do these things and could destroy her if she makes a mistake. So they're all the same to her. And then she does learn a bit more about one of them, and what she learns she doesn't like. So I think at that point, it becomes very important to her that she's not stitched by him, by Adrian, this one weaver. And, well, she's not. She finds out she isn't. And then she later meets the man who did make her. And I'm not sure she's entirely happy about that either, because he's not particularly kind.
I would think you couldn't be kind in such a situation. There are three weavers, and each one weave the different echoes. But, I mean, when you are creating, I would assume, an infant like that, and then knowing that you're handing it off, and you're hoping that they do their job so that they don't have to destroy them.
Yeah, Matthew, Eva's weaver, says that at one point. He actually says that it frustrates him when echoes make mistakes and force them to destroy them, because they don't particularly think of them as human. They don't really care about them, but in the end they are these things that they have created, that they have made. And I guess it's, well, anything. I mean, if you spend time making something, you don't want it destroyed. So I think it's a very complicated and, well, tense relationship between them, really.
And before we go, you had mentioned Frankenstein, and that book is banned in this world.
Yeah. It's the reason I wrote it. It was what started all of this. And in a way, it's what starts everything in the book as well. It's this thing that is not talked about, is forbidden to echoes, because it's just this big secret that she's not supposed to go anywhere near. I mean, you can see where the problem is, and that there's a man who makes a human being who stitches life from scratch, and it all goes wrong. Well, that's the last thing the weavers want echoes to find out about.
The name of the novel is The Lost Girl. Sangu, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Again, the name of Sangu Mandana's novel is The Lost Girl. It is published by Bowser and Bray. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.